Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, America and around the world. The SRI Label Group, Wildlife Educational Services, and Blog Talk Radio presents Larry and Cheryl Batson discovering our wild world and the music of the SRI Label Group. It's time for animal tracks, wildlife conversation, and great music. Join us and enjoy Larry Batson's Wild World Animal Tracks.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, broadcasting from our wildlife compound. And as always on these Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock, my beautiful wife Cheryl's here with us. Say hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl. Oh, wait a minute. Hello.
Yeah, that's... Anyway. Hey, we're excited tonight. No, it's not wrong either. But we're very excited tonight. Chasm Sultan's with us here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone.
That's so cool.
Oh, there you go. That'll remind people.
When she calls my name, nobody says it quite the same. Gives me a feeling I never knew. Makes me so happy loving her.
Is a founding member of the band Utopia, but he's also shared the stage with artists such as Meat Loaf, Blue Oyster Cult, Hall & Oates, to name a few. He's also Todd Rundgren's sideman. I mean, about every project Todd goes out, there's Chasm Sultan right there with him, and it's always great to have him back on the show after a little bit. Chasm Sultan on Wild World. Hi, Chasm.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Cheryl. Thank you so much for having me on. Just to keep things on the up and up, I was not a founding member of Utopia. I joined the band in 1976. They had been together for about 4 years prior to that in different iterations. But I was lucky enough to be in the version that stayed together for about 10 years and did some amazing records. And I'm very, very proud and pleased to have been there. But a founding member, I am not.
You know,
we always enjoy education. We just got educated.
Well, you know, the thing is that these days people hear stuff that's not right, and they're like, wait a minute, he wasn't the founding member. How dare he say that? How? And all of a sudden it's all over the internet, and I'm on Chris Cuomo Live before you know it on CNN, and I'm being asked all kinds of questions, and they're looking into my background, and I'm being under investigation, and who knows what else could happen.
Well, we would never want that by any means.
No, we wouldn't.
That's good. That's publicity, though, Chasm. That's what you need, something like that. A little scandal doesn't hurt anything.
Well, you know, Billy Idol used to say that there are no deadlines, only headlines.
That's right.
I mean, goodness gracious. But I have to say, that's one of favorite songs Utopia did. And,
well, thank you very, very much.
Well, it's spectacular. In fact, the show has a little, before we get in too far, a little Utopia. We went on a date one night to Indiana University there at the auditorium of Utopia, and the Tubes played. And Cheryl always has a story she likes to tell everyone about that particular evening.
Oh, Cheryl. Oh, that's you really want me to tell this?
Yeah, it's okay. Entertaining.
Okay. Well,
okay.
We were in the balcony, and we were on the first row, and the Utopia played first, and were amazing, and then along came the Tubes. Well, Larry has a tendency to do what we do, gets up very early, and he is one of those kind of people that can sleep anywhere, and I found myself seeing him sleeping while the Tubes were playing, and every once in a while he'd wake up and be freaked out because we were at the right at the balcony in the front row, and he'd be like, "Oh my goodness!" Like,
scared the hell out of me.
That's not nice to speak of the Tubes, but yeah, he kept napping through the Tubes.
That was a very, very interesting tour. That was more or less the swan song for both bands. We both had been dumped by our respective record labels, and we were kind of out on the road trying to promote whatever was left of our careers. And it was the last time.
This is so sad.
That was the last tour that the band. That was the last extended tour that the band, that Utopia did, and the last tour that the Tubes did as the original seven-member Tubes.
Oh my Lord! Yeah, I love Prairie Prince.
I'm sorry.
Don't take that as a critique, Larry sleeping.
I'm sorry that you fell asleep, but it was.
It wasn't. It wasn't while Utopia were
great.
I thought they were good. It was difficult though, because I had our time watching them and watching him as he would wake up and be freaked out because he thought he was falling over the front of the balcony. It made it very interesting.
Well,
we
watched a spectacular Utopia show, so then I was done for the night, you know, whatever. So it was
it was a fun tour, and we did as well as we could have possibly done with the whirlwind surrounding our businesses. But I'm glad we did it, and looking back on it, it was about a month and a half of sheer bliss.
Was it, Was there a little turmoil among the boys?
I'm sorry, what?
Was there a little turmoil among the boys?
A little bit. Nothing that would have broken up a lesser band, but something that we just managed to limp our way through. It was a fun tour, really. Looking back on it was a lot of fun.
Well, I can remember Stuart Copeland of the Police said on their last tour that he arranged his cymbals so he didn't even have to look at Sting. So it was...
Yeah, it gets like that. You know, it really does get like a stale marriage after a while. And, you know, I mean, God bless people like Mick Jagger and Keith Richards and, you know, and other bands that have, you know, stood the test of time and still go out, like Roger Daltrey and Peter Townsend, after all these years, 40 plus years of playing together. And I guess that's a testament to the music that they've created.
Absolutely.
Well, we can understand that in a small way, or at least I can. I've traveled with Larry for eons, it feels like. And you know, there's days that I just want to make his table crooked just to drive him crazy.
That happens.
Little things, you know, that you know. Yeah.
Well, when we were talking.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Chasm. It's your show.
It's such a double-edged sword. It's such a two-sided coin because once it's gone, you miss it. When you're in it, when you're in the midst of it, it's like, oh, Jesus, do I have to do this again? Do I have to play this song again? How many times do I have to hear, you know, Set Me Free or The Road to Utopia or, you know.
It seem like it's the first time.
Right. Because the audience wants to feel that. And then when it's gone, you know, you always say, geez, those were the best days ever. I miss those days so much.
That was good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. If I only had enjoyed myself just a little bit more.
Instead of thought of it as a job.
Exactly.
Well, what did Joe Walsh said? He said, I wish I'd have written better songs if I knew I was going to have to sing them so many times.
Yeah, well, there's that too, you know.
But you had spectacular.
That's part of our program when we do our show, the animal show. When Larry speaks, we bring a python out, and he does a part where he puts the python with the kid, and he has a deal. He does. And one summer we were working at an amusement park because you know you have to find a job, you know.
Uh-huh.
And there was a young man that worked at the amusement park, and he said to me one time, does he ever get tired of saying the same thing over again and over again? And I said, I don't know. You know, do you think Mick Jagger gets tired of singing, I don't get no satisfaction? You know, I mean, it's small, kind of, you know, relevant, I guess, isn't it?
I'm sure he does. I'm absolutely sure that he does. I mean, can I say that unequivocally? No.
Yeah.
But the fact is that it's a real homage to your audience and your loyal supporters that have stood the test of time and been with you from day one and continue to buy tickets to see you and buy your new music and and support you as an artist. I mean, that's so important.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always about giving something back to the audience. And a lot of times giving back to the audience means playing music that maybe you necessarily don't want to hear, but they do.
Yeah. Well, I think Led Zeppelin used to make a total effort in not playing a song the same way twice ever. I mean, I think that was part of their... Who knows? But anyway,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Do you find the audience changes it though for you?
Everything depends on the audience. An entire show really depends. The worst thing in the world is getting up on stage and looking out into the audience and it's like looking at an oil painting. You know, that there's no movement. Nobody's smiling. Nobody's like bopping their heads. Nobody's clapping their hands. They're just sitting there, you know, saying, impress me. That's really, really difficult. The best shows that I've ever done are the ones where the audience is completely engaged, hanging on every note, every lyric, every melody, every guitar solo. You know, that really makes a difference as to the energy that comes off the stage.
Yeah. And it makes it better for you.
And you get into a zone where basically you don't hear anything. You're in a zone. You know what? I do public speaking, and I know playing music the same thing. You get in that zone, and it's a hard thing to describe.
It is. It's a certain little bit of alchemy, a little bit of magic that happens between an audience and a performer. That when you know when the stars align, it's magic.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, Chasm, I saw the other day on Facebook that you went and did a reading at a school, book reading.
Yeah, well, my daughter is a public school teacher here on Staten Island where I live, and every few months she asks if I would come in and, well, actually not every few months, but about twice a year, I go into her class. She's a kindergarten teacher.
Yeah.
And I will either read to the kids or play guitar for the kids or, you know, just kind of. I'm a little bit of a celebrity here on Staten Island, so so it's a big deal for them, and when you really boil it down to the bottom line, if we don't take care of our children, what do we have?
Oh no, kidding.
That's right in our wheelhouse. That's what we do. Our kindergartners, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you are a big deal when you sing to the kids or you read to the kids. You're a big deal.
I love doing that stuff, and they're really nice, well-mannered kids, some of them. And for the most part, they are attentive, and they thoroughly enjoy the fact that some adult has taken time out of his day to come in and speak to their class.
I love that. That's excellent. You do that. Larry did that today.
Yes, I did do that today. Well, Cheryl and I write and illustrate our own children's books.
Oh,
so,
that's great.
Yeah, you should do that, Chasm. You might have a whole different deal going.
Okay, I'm writing that down right now. Neck on my to-do list. Write children's book. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know, you've got spare time, right?
Oh, yeah, I have nothing but spare time.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Okay. I have a friend that worked for the railroad. I know that sounds crazy, and you think, what does it have to do with me? And his suitcase was always packed because he never knew when they were going to call him and he had to go. Is your suitcase always packed?
You can ask my girlfriend there is a suitcase in my bedroom that it never leaves the foot of my dresser.
It's ready.
And it's not so much that it's ready, but I never really unpack.
So I figured that.
Oh, my gosh.
For some reason, I had a feeling that were true.
Yeah, it is true.
Well, I think Chasm is probably one of the hardest working people in show business. I mean, he's always got something going.
Well, I'm a hardworking person. I don't know that I'm the hardest working man in show business, but I do work hard, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's good to keep you out of trouble, you know.
Yeah, well.
Idle hands, they say.
At my age, you know, it gets a lot more difficult to get into trouble. So
now, careful.
I'm happy.
All the same age.
I'm happy working.
Well, and then you went up.
We're glad you're working too.
We are glad. And then you went up to Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana, with Todd and Jesse and Prairie Prince and who else was there? guy from the Cars,
Greg Hawks.
Yeah. And he did the teaching.
Todd does that about once a year. He goes to Notre Dame, and he does a little workshop with workshops with the students there in the music program. Notre Dame isn't known as a music school, but they do have a music program. And some of the kids that go there are absolutely brilliant performers. Todd has a relationship with the faculty there, and they invite him back every year. And last year, in September, he decided that he was going to take the band along. And we just had a blast for about 3 days working with the children on, children, they're college age.
Right.
On songs that they wanted to perform for the audience that came to see them, their family and friends, and we did a bunch of different songs, and I mean it's just really thrilling to see kids look up to you, and you know, as someone who's been around the block a few times, knows the ins and outs of the music business, and are willing to spend a little time helping them with their craft.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, I'd be thrilled if I were a young person to have you guys come in and teach.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't so much teach as we did kind of supervise. These are all kids that, they're very, very educated in their respective fields. A lot of them are like engineers, scientists, teacher. You know, they're going into teaching degrees and stuff like that. And their hobby or their passion is music. And so to get them to explore that part of their interest is. It's just great. We had a really, really lovely, lovely time with them.
Yes, but most of your music that you guys play is fairly challenging.
Well, we didn't
play
any
of them.
So
you're still teaching.
We really didn't. We sent them, or actually, they sent us a list of songs that they wanted to do. There wasn't a whole lot of Todd Utopia material in there. It was more other artists. Like we did some Tube songs. We did a couple of Cars songs.
Cars.
We did some Meatloaf songs that are very popular.
The Meatloaf song.
Yeah, of course. Well,
we have to talk about that. That was amazing. That was that. As I said earlier, the look on your face when you guys have concluded that, you had this look of joy, elation, and glad that's over. I mean.
Yeah, that's. I pretty much felt like that every time I played that song on stage. That for whatever reasons, that one particular Meatloaf song, it was Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, has become somewhat of an anthem for Sweet 16 parties, weddings, bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, any kind of event where there's a lot of people drinking a lot of alcohol and getting a little nutty. And I guess it's partly because of the interaction within the song between the guy and the girl, where they're actually acting out a scene from their youth to their separation. And they never actually get separated, but it runs the gamut of a relationship. And it's a brilliant piece of music, and it just touched a lot of people's lives, and the song is iconic at this point.
It is.
Yeah, and they did it. As Todd said, they did it as well as Meatloaf. So
they did.
We're talking to Chasm Salt. Go ahead.
Yeah, which is not an easy feat, but go ahead. We are talking to Chasm Salt.
And we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Animal Tracks, brought to you by SRI Records here on Blog Talk Radio.
One day, who knows? Maybe I'll fly to the moon. I drew back the curtain to start the show, but the crowd already left the room.
Chasm Salton on, if I hit the right button, on Blog Talk Radio. Nice tune, Chasm.
Oh, thank you very, very much. That was from my 2014 album entitled Three.
I remember that album. Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Do.
Yeah, well, of course
well,
I do. I'm a big fan.
Well, thank
I mean,
you very, very much.
I've seen so many tours, I feel, but amazing. You know, the one I missed that I wish we had, Willie Wilcox was on the show a couple months ago, right after you concluded the Utopia tour with Todd and Willie.
Yeah.
And he was quite excited about it.
He was?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I love Willie. Willie and I are very, very close.
Yeah, he's the best. His daughter wants to work in the zoo, so I've tried to give him assistance over the time.
Aww.
But
Haley.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, she's a wonderful
animals.
Child. Yeah.
Yeah. So anytime I hear of a zoo opening, I call him up. I'll say, hey, Willie. And he says, well, I'll see if she wants to move to Oklahoma. that usually doesn't happen, if you know what I mean. So did you enjoy the Utopia tour?
Did I enjoy the Utopia tour? I did, but it was a tremendous amount of work. There was a lot of dates, a lot of three in a rows where you know, it gets there's a lot of moving around, not any time to catch your breath.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really, really great tour, but it was a grueling tour. I mean, you know, we weren't like overworked or anything like that, but it was hard. It was a lot of work.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, the opening of the songs, the icon and other things, the instrumentals that you guys played. I mean, what Todd says, well, let's play something a little simpler or something after that.
Yeah.
I mean, you listen to that, and go, my God.
When we came up with the set list, you know, I remember thinking to myself, geez, do we have to play all these songs? Is this really necessary? Did we really have to do that one?
Oh, my Lord, people only knew. You know, being a musician is hard work. A lot of people don't realize that.
Well, look, I mean, the bottom line is we're not in a Humvee in Afghanistan, you know, going out on patrol, you know.
That's true.
God forbid, but, you know, and thank you to all the servicemen and women who do that on a daily basis and risk their lives. So, you know, I mean, really, in the big picture, when you put it in perspective, we're just going out and playing some music, you know. But for our own little fragile egos, you know, and dainty little hands, you know, it's our little version of hell, really.
Well, I have a way to make you feel better, maybe. We travel, and we, you know, go and do our shows, our little shows. But at least the things that you work with can't bite you. I mean, you can think about that sometimes.
Don't be so sure.
Well, yeah. I don't mean the musicians. I mean, I mean the instrument. Yesterday I was leaving a program being bitten by a possum as I'm walking out. The possum usually chews on my vest, but it happened to get a little bit of skin in there. And I'm like, okay, keep smiling. Don't let them know you're being bitten.
You know, it's funny you should mention that. I just read this article on a news feed about some runner. I guess he was in California, I think it was. And he was attacked by a mountain lion. And he killed the mountain lion with his bare hands.
Wow.
Yeah. I read that, too. It must have been a young mountain lion.
I guess, maybe. I mean, it's sad. I wouldn't see any mountain lion killed. But if it comes down to a mountain lion and me, I'm going for the me.
Yeah. No.
Oh, wait, I've done that. Wait.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Wait, I've lived that.
Oh, my God. We're going to talk about Chasm's new tour, Chasm Sultan's Utopia. It's very, very exciting. Here's a little message from SRI Label Group, Shelley Leibowitz and our friends on the SRI Label Group here on Blog Talk Radio.
SRI Jazz is proud to present their newest release, This Is Ray Brown Jr. That's right, Ella Fitzgerald's son continues to entertain audiences with his warm and charming vocals, making this one of the best vocal jazz albums of the year. Here are some sample tracks from the album. Visit our website to hear all of them in their entirety. Just go to srirecords.com or click on the banner in your media player now.
It's wonderful. Marvelous, you should care for me. Awful nights, paradise, what I love to see. My baby, when she walks by, all the bells go, I know why. Simply 'cause that girl's so fine. If she'd ever leave me, I'd lose my mind. She's got the kind of loving, kissing and a hugging. Sure is mellow, glad that I'm a fella, and I know, 'cause she knocked me off my feet. Have mercy on me. I know for certain, one I love. I'm through with flirting. It's you that I'm thinking of. Ain't misbehaving, saving my life. take the A train to go to Sugar Hill, way up in all.
You've been listening to a few sample tracks from the new album, This Is Ray Brown Jr. You can hear all the songs in their entirety at srirecords.com. Support jazz music today at srirecords.com. Consideration provided by SRI Jazz.
Hi, everyone. This is Shelley Leibowitz, and you're listening to my friends Cheryl and Larry Batson on Animal Tracks here on Blog Talk Radio.
And we've got Chasm Salton as a guest with us tonight. We're very, very excited about that. So, well, it's great. My gosh. Okay, you've got this new tour coming up.
Yes.
It's Chasm Salton's Utopia. We want to hear everything about it.
It started out as it was 2017, August of 2017. I had, you know, gone through years and years and years of the fans coming up to me and saying at Todd shows and at my own solo shows, is Utopia ever going to get back together again? Are you guys ever going to do a record again? Do you ever talk to Roger? Do you ever see Willie? Do Roger and Willie talk? Do Todd and Roger talk? Do Todd and Willie talk? Do you talk to Todd? do you guys still know each other? Any chance of anything happening at any time, you know, in this millennia? And my answer was always the same. It was always, well, you know, we don't, you know, there are no plans right now, but you never know. Yeah. So then I thought, you know what would be a nice thing and a nice gift for me to give back to the fans would be to put a show together. That was all Utopia music. And I thought that would be a really, really great way for me to give back to the fans that are so loyal and so supportive of me and my career. I booked three shows and they sold out within a month. Later on that year, probably a little bit closer to the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, we were approached by Live Nation to put the real Utopia back together again. We started talking about that, and I had so much fun doing my little Utopia shows that I decided I was going to do it again. Only this time, I was going to do, instead of three shows, I was going to do seven shows. So I called my booking agent and my business partner, and we decided that it was feasible to do that. Instead of just staying in the tri-state area, which is how we did it the first time in February of last year, we decided we were going to go try to book some shows in Cleveland, which was always a big Utopia town, Chicago, yep, which is a big Chasm Salton town and a big Utopia fan base there as well, and Milwaukee. So I'm doing we start on February 27th. We're at Darrell's House Club up in Pawling, New York, and then on March 1st we're at the Iridium in New York City. March 2nd is Annapolis, the Rams Head in Annapolis, Maryland. March 3rd is back in New York City for the second show at the Iridium. And then March 6th is in Cleveland at the Music Box Supper Club. March 7th is at the City Winery in Chicago. March 8th is at Shank Hall in Milwaukee.
And that's going to share the wealth this time.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Thanks. That's a good thing.
You've got one booking missing, though, Chasm. The Vogue Theater in Indianapolis. Yeah, Indianapolis.
We're building. We're building on this. So maybe, you know, end of this year, beginning of next year, we'll do 14 shows instead of seven shows. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
That'd be good.
So who's in the band?
Well, I did the last time I did this. I've been working with this drummer who's an absolutely brilliant musician. His name is Andy Ascalise. He's from here in the New York area. He's playing drums. I always have Jesse Gress on guitar because Jesse is just the most fantastic guitar player. And then last time I did this, I did it with two keyboard players because it normally takes two keyboard players to cover all of Roger Powell's parts. But when we did the proper Utopia tour earlier, spring of 2018, we found the most amazing keyboard player. This guy from Portland. He's actually from Israel, but he lives in Portland right now. His name is Gil Esaias, and he is Roger incarnate. So he covers all of Roger's parts, and he sings as well. So it's just a four-piece band this time out, and I am so looking forward to getting out and playing some shows with this four-man lineup that it's gonna be great. You know, I specifically don't do songs that have been performed a lot live.
Mm-hmm.
I was just looking at the set list for these shows coming up, and there are 9 songs on this tour that half of which have never been played live before, and some that have never been played since the band was together in the 1980s.
Wow, and you probably won't disclose those, will you?
I'd rather not, because then this way people say, I don't like it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to go see it.
So, I know.
Well, he didn't disclose the animals we bring either, so he's not even asking the right question, Larry.
Somewhat apologize for that.
Yeah. That's okay.
But, of course, you're not testing yourself doing things that you haven't done before.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I am. I that's exactly what I'm doing.
Okay, let's see. See how fun this is for me. It'll be great.
Yeah, it'll be great when it's over.
No. Yeah, but for the audience, we will love it.
I really hope so.
I know it'll be great because isn't the drummer? I love the videos from the band Geeks. Are those the guys that you play with occasionally?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it is. Richie Castellano is the head of the band Geeks, and I worked with Richie for about 6 years in Blue Oyster Cult. We worked together, and Andy was on the crew. And whenever there was a band member that couldn't make a show, whether it was the drummer, a guitar player, or me, a bass player, Andy would step in and do a great job. So Andy is a brilliant musician that is that can play. He's multi talented, and he just so happens to be a wonderful drummer.
Oh yeah, he's. I thought I recognized him, but I love the Band Geek videos that you did with him. I think there's 2 of them out on the YouTube, and they're fantastic. Those guys, and the guy that plays his kazoo, he's special.
That's Jared.
Yeah.
Jared's great. He's a trip. He's a funny guy. I mean, I think that. You know, that's the whole premise behind Band Geeks is that they get together, they play incredibly complex music, and they have fun with it, and they kind of joke around. But they're all very, very, very serious, accomplished musicians, and they play the hell out of the songs that they choose. I mean, they did Close to the Edge by Yes.
And oh my God!
They did an amazing job on it.
Yeah, those are just the best. We're talking to Chasm Salt. Here's a little tune from Chasm. Fell in love for the first time, right here on Animal Tracks.
I fell in love for the last time.
That's what women want to hear.
Wait a minute. I got to stop this. Did I say it? What did I say?
It fell in love for the last time.
Oh, my God.
Not that fell in love for the first time isn't a bad title. but that's not the title of the song.
I've got to get these glasses looked at because I can't see out of these things anymore.
Now you can play the song.
Okay, here's the song on the Animal Tracks. Fell in love for the last time.
Turned a corner and saw her face. All at once I believed. I was sure that it was fate smiling back at me. All the stars were aligned, and I knew right then that she was mine. I was pulled from the fire. I fell in love for the last time.
Sultan on Blog Talk Radio. It's a nice song, Chasm.
Thank you very much. Song. That was co-written with two guys that I write with, Phil Thornley, who is a brilliant songwriter, and Don
mm-hmm.
Gold, another amazing songwriter.
Okay, I have
Cheryl,
to ask my always question.
Okay,
when you write, do you plan on writing, or do you wake up with something on your mind?
You know, it's a combination of both. I usually say to myself, it's been a while since you've written a song. It's about time you write one, you lazy son of a gun.
Yeah.
And
get to work.
And then I'll sit down and I'll try to write. Or other times there might be something happening in my personal life that I decide is important enough to document in a piece of music.
I always wonder, you know, I've written a couple little books, and I find that usually if my hands are wet, I'll think of something. Oh, no, I need to write that down, you know, and you're wet or you're in the wrong position to have something you write down at that time. I think that's funny to ask everyone.
I always write, you know, write stuff, jot stuff down on little pieces of paper here and there and think, ooh, that would be a cool song line. That would be something cool.
I'm always thinking
about it, but, you know, for the most part, the muse comes when it comes, if at all.
Yeah, that's what I always wonder. I always wonder in different people because I think it's interesting. Shelley Leibowitz told me the story about the point when
Harry Nielsen.
I can't remember his name, Larry. Yes,
Harry Nielsen.
Harry Nielsen. Yeah, he was at a bar and talking to a guy, and they were having a discussion. And he wrote the point on a napkin. He started writing the movie and the whole the words for the songs in it. I thought that was just, there you go.
I don't know that there's a bigger Harry Nielsen fan than me. I think that he was one of the most brilliant songwriters to come out of America in the second half of the 20th century. And the point is just, it's just a beautiful record.
I know, I love it too. And the movie.
Yeah, everything that Harry wrote was just so good. It was just so good. And we lost him.
And I love that Shelley tells that story that he had this discussion with this guy at the bar, and then he writes the point on a napkin. And I think that's where I'd like to know where your muse kicks you. You know,
yeah.
Have you written on a napkin as well?
I have, as a matter of fact. not an entire record, but certainly a sentence here and a sentence there.
Yeah, I think that's very cool.
Well, Harry Nielsen's just the best. Just to show you, we're bragging about knowing, of course, he's our underwriter for a Blog Talk show, but Shelley Leibowitz was a producer for years and years. In fact, he was best friends with Harry Nielsen.
Yeah.
And John Lennon when they were getting in trouble in Los Angeles on the Lost Weekend. And Shelley was with him. And I guess Yoko calls John up, and she's just reading him the riot act. I mean, she's just laying him out. So John hangs up the phone. He's got this puzzled look, and Shelley looks up and says, "Man, she's just playing mind games with you."
He writes the song.
So that became the song.
Most people don't know this, but a lot of people think that Harry and John Lennon were very close, but in reality, Harry was much closer to Ringo. And Harry and Ringo were very, 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 very good friends. And Ringo was his best man at his wedding, and they were best friends.
Well, a spectacular musician, absolutely, Harry Nielsen, my gosh. So you're going to do this tour, I'm sure you got about...
I think they rub elbows with each other. All the cool guys rub elbows.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it works that way, doesn't it?
But,
Mr. Chasm.
So any projects going to go after the Utopia, or are you just going to keep that underneath your hat?
Any projects that I'm doing after my Utopia tour, my little Utopia? Well, I'm going out with Todd. Todd Rundgren just released his autobiography, and there's a tour that is kind of in support of the book. So we're going out in April and May and June behind his book. We're doing kind of a book music tour. And then after that, I will be working on I'm actually working on it right now. Some new songs for another solo record of mine. I know I threatened my audience late last year or earlier last year with this is the last record I'm ever going to do. I'm never going to do another record again. As luck would have it, it's what I do and what I will continue to do until I can't do it any longer. So yeah. I'm working on new music, and I think I'm hoping that I can have something out before the end of 2019.
Well, that'd be fantastic. We love some Chasm Sultan. I've got a crazy story to tell you real quick here, Chasm, about this is a true story. Stop me if you've already heard it before, but this fella from India walks
I've
into
heard
this
it.
Bank. You've heard it?
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
We've all heard it. No one wants to hear it, Larry.
maybe I will drop it.
No. I want to hear it now.
Okay. Well, this guy from India walks into this bank in New York City. He says, I'd like to see about getting a loan. He says, well, you'll have to speak with the bank manager. Have a seat in his office. He'll be right there with you. So the manager walks in. He says, I understand you're interested in a loan. He says, I am. He says, what are we looking at? He says, how much? He said, $5,000. He said, what do you want to do? A year, 2 years? He said, well, no, more like 2 weeks. Oh, well, that's kind of abnormal for what we do. Do you have some kind of something you can leave us, security for this loan? He says, I do. He said, there's a brand new Ferrari parked in front of your bank right now. Here's the keys. Here's the title. How about that? He said, well, yeah, that'll work. Fine. So he gets his $5,000 and leaves. He says, I'll see you in 2 weeks. So he walks back into the bank, and he goes up to the teller with the paperwork prepared to pay off the loan and get his car back. Mm-hmm. And the teller looks at him and says, oh, we've heard about you. He says, you need to speak with the bank manager. So he goes in, sits in the office, and the bank manager walks in. He says, you know, after you left the other day, we did some checking on you. We found out that you are a multimillionaire. So our question for you is, why in the world would you need to borrow $5,000 from this bank? He said, what's the interest on that loan going to be? He said, oh, it looks like about $80 or so. He said, okay, you tell me where I could park a brand new Ferrari for 2 weeks in New York City for $80.
that's his New York City joke, I guess.
That's a very. It's not blue. I like it.
True though.
Oh, no,
you didn't go blue.
No. He teaches elementary children.
I have a potty mouth. Potty mouths are not allowed.
Next time I read a book at my daughter's class, I'll tell them that joke.
Well, you should.
They probably get it too. The kindergartners would understand it.
Well, they're from New York City. Of course they would.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll send you a copy of our kids' book, so the next time you read it, you'll have some different material.
I would love
that. That's right. Read our book.
Yeah, that'd be tricky.
I would love that. Because the next book that I was going to read to them is The Gas We Pass. So,
that's a good one.
So that is a good one, actually.
Yeah. We've always heard, because you know we work with animals and there's poop involved a lot.
Uh-huh.
So there's
uh-huh.
another we know about, When Everybody Poops is a book.
Well,
so
yeah,
that's a good one.
I don't like where this interview is.
These are kids' books though, in your library you can find them.
Absolutely. Chasm, what a good sport you are. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you so much, Larry and Cheryl. Thank you very, very much for having me. I really appreciate it. And I hope anybody that's in the Indianapolis area, if you want to take a little ride to Chicago on March 7th and see my show, you'll have a great time, and I'll say hi to you.
Is the bus trip sold out? It's the bus trip from, was it Chicago to Milwaukee?
There's still some seats left on the bus.
Tell everybody the details on that.
I'm sorry?
Tell everybody the details on that, Chasm.
Yeah, there is a move afoot to put a bus ride together from, because the shows are back-to-back. There's mm-hmm. a show, and the Chicago show is on March 7th. And Milwaukee is on March 8th. And if you don't want to worry about, if you want to come to both shows but don't want to worry about parking or driving from Chicago to Milwaukee, there is a bus. If you go on my Face page, Chasm Sultan, you can find out all the details of it. And Yeah, just buy a ticket. I think it's like I'm not exactly sure how much it is. I know it's under $50.
Wow!
But
you'll be able to hang out with a bunch of like-minded fans. We're going to be showing a DVD on the bus about it's a live show that I did a couple years back here in New York City, and then at the Milwaukee show, I'm also going to be giving away. The bass that I will be playing that night will be given away at the end of the show to a lucky audience
I want
to
go.
Well, go. Yeah. Just go. What the heck? I'll stay here and take care of bears, lions, and monkeys. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Next time I'm in Indianapolis, I want to come and visit you guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'll get with you because I got some very special Nielsen stuff, too. So I'll talk to you about it.
I would love to hear that. Yeah. Great.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks a lot. Good luck on the tour. It's going to be fantastic.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you so much, Cheryl. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful evening, and I will speak to you all soon.
You got it.
Bye.
You're listening to Talk.
Hi, everyone. This is Shelley Leibowitz, and you're listening to my friends Cheryl and Larry Batson on Animal Tracks here on Blog Talk Radio.